From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's these two, 1-2 down to the finish. Enabled and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing royalty, Enabled and Frankie Dettori. The Arc winner is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too. It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Monoboy Girl is 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Pizzo. Monoboy Girl has won the distance. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Happy New Year, everyone, and a very happy birthday to all thoroughbreds who are considered to be 1 year older as of January 1st. Yeah, that happened just a few days ago. Believe it or not, the run for the roses in 2019, edging ever closer, 119 days, 9 hours, 48 minutes, and now 39 seconds until the three-year-olds go to the post beneath the twin spires at Churchill Downs. The newly turned three-year-olds with dreams of being forever known as Kentucky Oaks or a Kentucky Derby winner are beginning their road to Louisville, some of them doing it as soon as this weekend. And we're going to talk more about that over the course of the next 2 hours. And very happy to have you with us across HRN Nation. Good morning, everyone. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, along with Pope Jude, the Pontiff of the Pick Four himself, Jude Feld. We are coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. And JT, no shortage of action for those who follow this great game of ours. If you're an owner, if you're a trainer, if you're a breeder, a fan, a diehard gambler, horse player, there's something for everyone this weekend and into the coming week.
Yeah, very exciting cards at Gulfstream in Santa Anita for sure. We're going to get to see Code of Honor, Shug McGahey's horse that's high atop my Derby list and many other people's. He unfortunately got a fever the morning of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and had to scratch, but he's a talented horse. Looking forward to seeing him back in action. And then at Santa Anita, Bob Baffert is bringing back Coliseum off his impressive maiden victory at Del Mar. And we had a chance to talk to Bob yesterday. He's very, very keyed up for Derby season, and rightly so, because he's got like, I don't know, 7 or 8 horses on the Derby trail. Maybe that's too few. I don't know, but all very exciting stuff, and looking forward to those races. Plus there's lots of good stakes all over the place and some excellent betting opportunities today, so should be a fun day.
We're going to replay that Bob Baffert interview after our first commercial break, which will come your way right around 8:12, 8:13 Eastern, so about 10 minutes from right now. You'll hear Jude's interview with Bob from yesterday's Express Bet radio program, and you won't want to miss it because he talks about not only Coliseum, but he talks about all of his three-year-olds, including the undefeated game winner. He talks about his three-year-old filly, Mother. The cupboard is not bare for Bob Baffert again this year, and he talks about all those horses coming up in that interview in a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. But Jude, you mentioned the Sham at Santa Anita today. That's a points race for the Kentucky Derby. The winner going to be awarded 10 points for a spot in the starting gate on the first Saturday in May. Tomorrow, an Oaks points race at Santa Anita. The Grade 2 Santa Ynez, that's 10 points to the winner as well. I mentioned Mother. You also have Bellafina going to the post in there. That should be a good showdown. We're going to hear from her trainer, Simon Callahan, at the end of the program today, 9:40 Eastern. So we're going to kind of cover all the bases on the racing side of things this weekend with Bob and with Simon. You're also going to hear from Shug McGahey, who will be with us at 8:30 Eastern. He'll talk about Code of Honor, who Jude mentioned goes in the Mucho Macho Man as the likely favorite in there. That's at Gulfstream later today. So all of those trainers going to join us here on the show later this morning. Plus, you also have the Keeneland January Horses of All Ages sale that begins on Monday. So for people that are focused on that side of the business, a lot happening here in the Bluegrass just up the road at Keeneland.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of people in town. The January sale is always one that people looking for mares to breed. back to stallions that they own shares of or whatever, and some fancy horses on tap for that sale. And it's a good time of year. Weather's been pretty good. We had some rain, supposed to be a nice weekend, and things are looking up.
Yeah, let's go ahead and set the full schedule for you over the course of the next 2 hours. So I mentioned Bob Baffert coming up right around 8:12, 8:13 Eastern. That interview from yesterday will be replayed. Don't miss it. Shug McGahey with us, 8:30 Eastern. Michael Hernan from Gainesway will join us for our Stallion Spotlight segment this week. That segment presented by Red Brand Fence. He'll be with us at 8:45 Eastern time. Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds. They send out Gunmetal Gray in this afternoon sham. He starts his road to the Kentucky Derby. Terry going to be with us 9 o'clock Eastern time. And Tim Layden from Sports Illustrated with us at 9:20. He'll discuss his Eclipse Award-winning feature, which was titled Remembering Chick Anderson's Legendary Call of Secretariat's Record Run at the 1973 Belmont Stakes. That being announced yesterday that Tim won the Eclipse Award for that piece, and he'll join us to talk about that feature and about the late Chick Anderson coming up later on in the program. And then, as I mentioned, Simon Callahan, 9:40 Eastern. So an awful lot of things to get to, JT. I thought, in terms of a poll question this morning, how about this? You think about what happened some four decades ago in the 1970s in terms of the Triple Crown. You had Secretariat in 73, who ended that long drought, much like American Pharoah did in 2015. 4 years later, Seattle Slough comes along and wins. The next year, you had Affirmed, who wins in 1978, back-to-back. So my question this morning to HRN Nation is, does history repeat itself in this decade? Do we see a Triple Crown winner in 2019 on the heels of Justify? It would be a very similar pattern to what we saw in the 1970s, almost identical, except for the fact that from Secretariat to Seattle Slough was 4 years, from American Pharoah to Justify was 3 years.
Yeah, pretty close. I don't know if there's any science behind any of it, but...
No, but wouldn't that be something?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, yeah. And that's our... Will it happen? Will history repeat itself in this decade? Will we see a Triple Crown winner here in 2019? Yes or no? Quite simple. You can weigh in. Let us know your thoughts. It's hard to say. I mean, you would think the knee-jerk answer is no, right? Because the odds are against it, right?
The percentages would tell you no.
Right. Yeah. But history may tell you yes. If you look back four decades ago.
There we go. Back to the same old story. You know, it's all a crapshoot.
Yeah, right. I mean, who knows? So I want to know what people think out there. Weigh in at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, another way to do it too, and let us know your thoughts. One other thing we're going to get to at some point here in a very busy program is I do want to touch on the 2018 handle numbers that were released this past week. Very, very positive. For those of you who are still Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the sport is dead, wait till you get a load of these handle numbers. They are really, really strong. We'll tell you about that later in the program as well. All right, going to get to our first break. We'll come back. We'll hear that interview that you did yesterday with Bob Baffert. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
FDB stands for Flashy Debut Breakthrough.
Free Drop Billy is on the move, needs to find a seam, and splits horses decisively. Free Drop Billy, who wins it by 2.5 in the end.
FDB stands for Fast Dirt Brilliance.
Into the final furlong of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Free Drop Billy opening up by 3. Bravazo in second, but no catching. Free Drop Billy, who wins it.
Free Drop Billy, Union Rags' only Grade 1 winner at stud. New for 2019 at Spendthrift Farm.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Coming to the quarter pole, Colosseum, still a commanding leader. Chasing now as Railman tries to close the gap. Figure Eight is back in third. The others a long way back. Light of the World coming on fourth. They turn for home, and Colosseum still the leader. Colosseum in front now by 2.5. Railman's chasing gamely from second, but Colosseum just getting a tap on the shoulder as striding away very, very impressively here. A great debut from Colosseum, just handwritten by Joe Talamo. Cruises in very impressively. Figure Eight second, Railman third, Light of the World was fourth.
Trevor Denman with the call, and yeah, a great debut to say the least. Colosseum, an impressive winner in his maiden effort at Del Mar back on November 17th. That was the first race of the afternoon that day, and nobody more impressive than Colosseum at Del Mar on that program. We're going to see him in action later today in the Sham Stakes, his second career start, his three-year-old debut, as he begins his road to the Kentucky Derby, and Bob represented by a couple of horses in there. He has several top three-year-olds on the Derby and on the Oaks trails. And yesterday, Bob took the time to visit with Jude on our Express Bet radio program. And he started by talking about Colosseum and then went into talking about all of his three-year-olds. And here's what Bob had to say.
You know, Colosseum, as we all know, he has a lot of raw talent. And we've taken our time with him. He's a tappet that, you know, you can't go too quick. Fast on them because, you know, they tend to be a little bit hot. You know, that pulpit blood comes out in them, but that's what makes them so good also. You know, they're very competitive. So I'm really looking forward to see what Colosseum and actually much better. You know, we've been running him on the turf, but he's really not a turf horse. So I'm excited to see what he does also.
You know, Colosseum, before he ran, you kind of – I read something where you were kind of worried about how he might act and stuff. Is he kind of difficult in the mornings or is he quirky? What's the deal with him?
No, he's actually really nice around the barn and everything. He just when you gallop him or work, he's just very aggressive. You know, from day one, he's been very aggressive. Wants to do a little more than what you want him to do. So. All his work, he works by himself, and we try to keep him nice and relaxed as much. And you'll see, he works fast, but he's doing it under restraint, you know. So, it's one of those things where we weren't sure. He wasn't really, really good away from the gate. He wasn't really that quick away from the gate. We didn't really want to get him too keyed up. So we were worried about him, you know, breaking poorly. Like if he breaks poorly, then if he runs up, you know, we're this kind of horse that, is he going to run up on their heels? You know, what's he going to do? But Joe, you know, Joe's, you know, when I ran him at Del Mar, he actually broke with the field, which was really nice. And the first thing that Joe said when he came back, he said, wow, he broke. And then when he broke like that, I just said, thank you, Lord, for him breaking like that, so I didn't have to deal with, you know, steering him off the top of horse's heels. Because I think he's that kind of horse that we don't know how he's going to react behind horses or how he's going to take the dirt. So, you know, we'll find out a lot more about him.
Yeah. Well, you know, you drew the two-hole in his first race, too. Just what you want when you have a horse like that. You couldn't have drawn the eight, so you could relax a little bit.
Well, I mean, he's got a nice post for him on the mile, you know. I told Joe I was hoping that he'd draw the one hole so Joe wouldn't be able to sleep the night before thinking about it, you know. It's exciting. He's a beautiful horse and just a big, strong horse. So, and much better. He's really turned around. He's been working really well, and so. You know, he's a beautiful looking pioneer than now. So those good looking ones, we know what they can do.
Yeah, absolutely. What you have an embarrassment of riches this year, more than usual.
I don't like to hear that. You know what? That's like the biggest jinx in the world when they say that. Oh, this and that, and then you know, come for the big dance. You know, I just hope they're all there. You know.
So, yeah.
But right now we're. We've been pretty lucky, you know, they're staying healthy. I've got a few that had to back off there, but you'll see them down later in the summer. But, you know, right now, you know, we've got game winner who we're going to start breezing pretty soon now, and he looks good out there. And we got Improvo. I've been just laying back with him. He's ready to do something. So, you know, but we still, you know, I was, you know, back in December, I was hoping – the Derby was in February, you know, because we were ready to go. But, you know, you just got to keep your senses and keep them healthy and keep them happy. And if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, I also read that you don't have any justifies. You've kind of – your horses all have starts in them. Is that really the case? Or
well, what I meant by justified, we don't have any – I don't think I have any that I haven't started yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, yeah.
Yeah, they're like him. I think game winner, I mean, he showed me from first time I worked him at Del Mar that he was really special, but he was way behind, but he came around really quick. I mean, I really, you know, and then to spin him around in 2 weeks and win the Futuri, that was, you know, you can only do that with a really good horse. And so that was pretty good. And Improbable, you know, he's City Zip, you know, usually you don't know if they're going to go that far, but he catches gears, you know. He always looks like the top of the stretch, like he's having to work at it, and then all of a sudden he just takes off, you know. And so really light on his feet, just, you know, his athleticism is right there, and he's not too heavy, he's not too big. And Coliseum just has a raw, raw, raw talent. I mean, I think he's a really nice horse, but he's, like I said, he's got to work through his little immaturity there, and hopefully we'll see some of that tomorrow. I mean, I'd love to see him on an easy lead going 47 and change. That would be nice, but you just don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to win the Kentucky Derby for Sheikh Mohammed?
I think it's great to win the Kentucky Derby for anybody. I'm telling you what, it's just, there's nothing like it. It's the Kentucky Derby is just, it's just the most, you know, it's the treasure of our sport, and it's exciting, and it's a different feel, Jude. I mean, it's really, it's something that it's very emotional for me, because you think of all your family, and it brings, you know, the Derby brings friends and family together, and then especially when you go to the Preakness, you know, everybody, you know, and then you get all these friends all of a sudden. So it's great. It's a great feeling.
Well, you've also got the Santa Ynez on Sunday. You got Mother, one of my favorite fillies. She's just really a nice filly, and I always think about that interview that you did with George Bolton before she ran the first time, and she ran up to your guys' expectations. She was very impressive, breaking her maiden at Del Mar. She looks tough on Sunday. How's she doing?
Yeah, she's doing really well. I'm gonna take the blinkers off. She was a little bit in the Starlet. She was a little bit rank, and she was a little bit ranked the time before. But I was hoping she wouldn't draw the one hole. She just stuck in the one hole there. So and the heavy favorite is Bellafina, who I've been watching. She's been working really, really well. I don't know if we can beat her, especially like one turn. But we know we're doing well. I mean, on paper, it looks like a match race again, like we did in the debutante at Del Mar. So, you know, she's gotten bigger. Her frame got really light and lanky, but she's doing really well, and I think she'll run well. You know, I don't know what the track's going to be like. I don't know how much rain we're going to get, but it should be pretty quick, so they'll run pretty fast.
Well, I really appreciate you spending the time with us this afternoon. It was great talking to you. Wish you all the luck this weekend, and we'll see you down the road.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that's Hall of Famer Bob Baffert from yesterday's interview with Jude on Express Bet Radio. And JT, some really candid comments from Bob talking about all of his three-year-olds and then ending up with Mother, wrapping up the interview with the three-year-old filly. Some good stuff from him. Well done.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was interesting when he said Coliseum's really turned it around. That one kind of took me by surprise. I mean, he won by 7 in his first race, so I don't know how he turned it. He turned it around, I guess, you know, emotionally and experience wise, I guess. So that was good. And then it was interesting. He went right to game winner.
Yep.
You know, like I've known all along. Game winner showed me right away, and that was interesting. I thought in the overall context of it. And then we got a little bit of the homespun Bob Baffert. You know, the Derby brings friends and family together.
Yeah.
Right? So he had the emotional side of it. So, it was fun to talk to him, and he was spot on. It was a great experience.
Yeah, one thing's for sure. That won't be the last time we talk to Bob Baffert between now and the first Saturday in May.
Yeah,
I can guarantee you that.
I hope not.
Of course, he didn't want to hear that when you hit him up with an embarrassment of riches. Yeah. And Bob's superstitious.
Don't make
no bones about it. He is superstitious.
I looked at my Derby list before I did that interview with him, and I just saw Bob Baffert. it was kind of funny, but he's great. He's he's always been great for HRN, and he's always been good to me. So it was a fun way to end Express Bet Radio.
Yep. Well, of course, Coliseum, one of a couple of Bob Baffert entrants later today in that Sham Stakes at Santa Anita. He also sends out Much Better. Coliseum, the even money favorite, Much Better on the board at odds of 6-1 in that race. And the Grade 3 Sham Stakes, a points race for the Kentucky Derby, post time 7:04 Eastern. So that would be 4:04 Pacific time, as it will be... What race is that out there today? Let's see.
It's
race number 9. Yeah.
Race
9 at Santa Anita. All right. Still to come, Shug McGahee. He's going to join us in our next segment. He'll talk about his exciting 3-year-old Code of Honor, who goes in the Mucho Macho Man at Gulfstream later today. Michael Hernan is later on in the first hour as well with our Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence. So a lot still to come here in hour number one, but we're going to take time out for our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington.
Sam Riddle, owner of Man of War, once made the now famous remark, "Thoroughbreds don't cry." By that, he meant that they had the heart and courage to keep on trying no matter how badly the odds were stacked against them. There are those of which legends are formed, like Black Gold and Dark Secret, both of whom broke a leg during the running of the race but refused to stop running until they crossed the finish line still fighting. Undoubtedly, one of the most memorable tests of heart in the chronicled annals of thoroughbred racing was the 2-year-old ongoing duel between two superior colts, Aladar and Affirmed. Both were chestnuts, both schooled by top trainers, and both were members of the same outstanding Raise a Native family. In toto, they both typified all that was poignantly majestic about the thoroughbred breed itself. Affirm was a good little horse, standing at 15.3 hands, that's about 5 feet 1 inch, and Aladar was a good big horse, standing at 16.2 hands, about 5 feet 4 inches. You know, there's an old racing adage to the effect that a good big horse will beat a good small horse. Those who echoed that well-known refrain forgot one simple thing. Affirmed was a fanatic. Once he got to the lead, he absolutely refused to let another horse get by him. The fact was that Aladar was also a fanatic in that he refused to stop trying to pass, no matter how consistently Affirmed defeated him. In their first six meetings, Affirm had whipped Aladar four times. But when they went postward neath the hallowed twin spires of Churchill Downs in the lengthening late afternoon shadows of an early May afternoon in the run for the Roses, Aladar was the crowd betting favorite. One of the fascinating aspects of the Affirmed Aladar battles was the difference in their respective running styles. Affirm was a quick breaker, and once in front, flatly refused to relinquish his advantage. Aladar was a relatively slow breaker who came from off the pace to make one big run. That 1978 Kentucky Derby showcased those patterns and tendencies most graphically indeed. Although Aladar chased Affirmed valiantly, the Little Harborview colt won the race over the Game Calumet colt, which thereby upped the composite log to Affirmed 5 wins, Aladar 2. It turned out to be a case of equine deja vu in the run for the Black-Eyed Susans at Pimlico 2 weeks later. This time, the big horse made an even more determined run for the lead and was defeated by a bare neck. Laz Barrara, Affirmed's trainer, said that even if they had gone around again, Aladar would never have caught him. There were not many others, including Aladar himself, who bought into Barrara's absolute vote of confidence. The Calumet colt went postward as the favorite in the ultimate test, the mile-and-a-half run for the Carnations, the Belmont Stakes. And there was a solid faction of knowing horsemen who were of the opinion Aladar had been whipped by Affirm so many times, 6 out of 8, that in effect Affirm had broken Aladar's heart, as it were, and that the race would be a walkover for Affirm. The 111th Belmont will be long remembered by Ogden Phipps, then president of the New York Racing Association, and everybody else who saw it as well as, quote, the greatest horse race I've ever seen, unquote. I was a witness, but I must frankly say the match race between Al Sab and Whirlaway at Narragansett in 1942 was better. So be it. Nevertheless, Affirm got away from the barrier with his customary quick start and then dropped into second place just off the pace, lying in wait like a tiger ready to pounce on his prey. Aladar broke in rather leisurely fashion and came from further back to challenge on the outside. With the indomitable spirit of a truly great horse, he began his ambitious assault on Affirmed in spite of his recent defeats at the hands of the latter, defeats that would have made any lesser thoroughbred stop trying. Speeding rapidly to the head of the field, Affirmed and Aladar came to the 3/8 pole eyeball to eyeball. Matching each other with stride for magnificent stride, they had covered the first mile in 1:37.2. Muscles strained to the bursting point, neither magnificent colt giving an inch. Their strides were in perfect synchronization with the respective riders in fluid motion as they pounded down the long Belmont stretch in what was truly poetry in motion. Then Aladar, in the moment everybody had waited for, stuck his nose out for just a mere fraction of an inch further than Affirmed. It seemed just for an instant that Aladar's long battle had finally been won. The prolonged intensity of that duel for the lead and the assertive move would well have given cause for most other horses to back off and settle for a most respectable second place. For a fleeting moment, it looked as if Affirmed would tire and slow down, but he reached down into the depths for that X-plus, that little something extra that only the great ones have, that which makes a thoroughbred a true champion. In one singularly bold display of the ultimate in courage, the little horse with the enormous heart gathered every ounce of power that was within him and thrust his nose a good 3 inches past that of Aladar. And that's the way it stayed as they hit the finish line. To this very day, the question is hotly debated. Which horse had more heart, the one who would not be beaten or the one who kept being beaten but came back for each successive confrontation trying harder and harder to win? You see, Aladar didn't know how to cry, and in that context he exemplified the consummate thoroughbred. But history shows, and the fact remains, it was Affirmed that had that intangible something extra, that X+. As Laz Barrera phrased it, when the following summer the good little Triple Crown winner thundered home under an impost of 132 pounds to win the Hollywood Gold Cup and become the first thoroughbred to earn $2 million, quote, affirmed is like my father. When you ask him for a quarter to go to the movies, he'd have to search all of his pockets, but you knew he'd find one somewhere, unquote. And by the way, there's a great sports trivia question emanating from that 1978 Triple Crown. Who was the only horse ever to run second in all three Triple Crown races? It was Aladar. No, indeed, thoroughbreds do not cry.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Welcome to Jimmy John's.
Hi, your new 9-grain wheat sub is so good. How do you make it?
With the highest quality ingredients and love. I mean, we definitely don't sing at lullabies when it's baking. Lullabies are what parents sing to babies.
Right.
And we don't use a baby carrier to carry the warm, fresh 9-grain wheat subs to the cooling racks. I mean, they're not babies. They're for making delicious sandwiches.
Okay, I'll take a turkey tom.
Oh, don't name them. It makes it harder.
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
Adina Springs Stallion, Mucho Macho Man. A precocious juvenile, a classic 3-year-old, and dominant older horse.
Farage Farage, Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
Mucho Macho Man in front, followed by Hymnbook, who continues to close ground, but will run out of racetrack as Mucho Macho Man wins the 126th Suburban.
Mucho Macho Man declares the war. We'll take charge of Final Man. Mucho Macho Man.
Mucho Macho Man's first crop includes black type runner Bell Laura and TDN Rising Stars Mucho Gusto with trainer Bob Baffert and Fortin Hill in the barn of trainer Chad Brown. In the sales ring, yearlings by Mucho Macho Man have proven popular, selling for up to $170,000, with his first two-year-olds bringing up to $625,000. Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Normandy Invasion has taken the lead on the outside. Orb is coming with giant strides in the center of the track. And here comes Orb on the outside now to take the lead as they come down to the 16th pole. It is Orb in front from Normandy Invasion. My Loot and Golden Soul between horses down to the wire. Orb has won the Kentucky Derby for Chet McGahee. It was Golden Soul. Revolutionary came late on the inside. And then it was Normandy Invasion. And it was Orb today in the Derby. His final time was 2:02.89.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Pena, Jude Feld, coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. That was Larry Colmus with the call of the 2013 Kentucky Derby. Orb giving Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee a very special victory in his career. His first and only Kentucky Derby win to this point, but he's hoping to get back to the winner's circle again on the first Saturday in May with the very talented Code of Honor, who begins his road to Louisville in the Mucho Macho Man at Gulfstream later this afternoon. And Shug, nice enough to take time out of what has to be a busy morning to spend a few minutes with us here today. Shug, welcome to the program, and happy to take you on a little trip down memory lane there.
Okay, Mike, thanks. Yeah, no, it's always fun to listen to.
Do you ever go back and just you know, go back to the internet or something and Google Orb Kentucky Derby and watch that race?
You know, I don't. I mean, I got the race in my mind. I can rerun it there. And, you know, I very seldom watch the reruns and this and that. Of course, sometimes with races like that or Breeders' Cup races, they show up on TV, TVG or something, you know, to where you see them again. But, you know, I'm not real big on looking at the reruns.
Well, it's all about the future now, and the future
is
for you anyways, is with the very talented Code of Honor. He begins in the Mucho Macho Man later today. He begins his three-year-old season. Why was this the right spot to get him started again, Shug?
Well, I knew it was on the calendar, and get straight three-year-olds. I mean, he is an AO then, but so, you know, I just thought it was sort of the right timing. You know, we elected not to run in the Remsen, and we got him to Payson Park, and he trained good down there. And, you know, he had a good work last weekend. Johnny went up there and worked him, and so I thought it was all systems go. And, you know, to turn up a solid race, it was a short field, which I sort of like, to where, you know, hopefully we can get a clean run and just see where we stand.
Yeah, he doesn't really need to win this race to, you know, continue on. He just get a good start and, you know, kind of feel his way back to the race as he's so talented and you already know he can run. So it's really a cherry spot for him, I think.
Well, that's right. You know, the people have been asking. I said, listen, this isn't the win-all. I said, we're in there to win, but you know, he's run two times in his life, and the last time, you know, 1st of October. So, you know, he really hadn't missed much in the way of training, but, you know, he's very inexperienced. And, you know, so if we get a good solid race into him to where it gives me the confidence to move forward, then that'll be good too. But like I say, you know, we're hoping we can win, but it's not the end all by any means.
Yeah, and obviously Gulfstream's road to the Kentucky Derby wraps up with the $1 million Florida Derby toward the end of March, Shug. And you were quoted when you were asked about Code of Honor. You said, he's got to get through this one, of course, but it sure would be nice if we could get to the Florida Derby if he's that kind. What is it about Code of Honor that makes you think he could be that kind?
Well, he's shown talent all along. You know, before I ran him the first time, I worked him up at Saratoga, and, you know, really he worked really well half a mile, but his gallop out was much even better. You know, I mean, I think he pulled up like in 3/4 and 13. And, you know, so, you know, then he came back and he ran a good race, you know, was on the lead the whole way, and he beat what I thought at that time was a pretty nice horse in a Medaille d'Or of Mark Cassie's. And, you know, and then he came back and we ran him into Champagne and, you know, he got away terrible and made a big, long, sustained run, which I did see on some replay the other day. And, you know, he was looked like he was still even finishing after asking him early in the race to get into the race. You know, he made a long run and he sort of finished, he was still finishing at the end. So, you know, that kind of got my hopes up. And, you know, he trained excellent going to the Breeders' Cup, and then we just got unlucky and chipped there, and he started coughing. And in the morning of the race, he had 103 temperature, but that went away in a hurry. I was even able to ship him back to New York on Sunday. But, you know, those things happen. And but, you know, just from what I saw after the Champagne, he was a much better horse than he was going in, I thought. And, you know, we just got unlucky and then get to run in the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, well, that's a nice thing about you training him, is you have the patience to overcome those things and the experience, where a lot of trainers would be fretting. You just take it in stride and go on with it. At least that's the appearance that you give.
Well, Joe, I've always felt even thing, you know, if it doesn't happen today, it might happen down the road, you know. And when you I could have run him in the Remsen. You know, he was doing fine. You know, I train on the main track mostly at Belmont, and we had terrible weather there in November, and the track was frozen and closed. I was having to train over on train track, and I'm just not as familiar with the training track as I am. And he worked good. Johnny worked him, and you know, but I saw when he went by the wire, he kind of asked him a little bit to gallop out, and that wasn't sort of the norm. And you know, he came back and told me, he said, listen, Shug, he said, his horse worked really good, but he said he's worked better. And, you know, I had sort of seen what he meant. And, you know, to take him there and run him going a mile and eighth in the Remsen over, you know, kind of a deeper track, you know, I thought, you know, if he's not what I want him to be, you know, I might look up in April and say, why'd I do that? And so we elected to pass. You know, he has told me after the fact and stuff, he said, if I hadn't worked him before, Shug, I'd have told you to run him. His work was, you know, good enough, but he said, I'd worked him before, and I knew it wasn't as good as what was before. And, you know, I feel like we got that last Saturday up at Payson Park, according to him. And so, you know, we're looking forward to seeing what happens this afternoon.
Yeah, the horses will tell you sometimes, and of course you have to be astute enough to see that. But you saw it right away, just watching him, and Johnny felt like he wasn't at his peak. So it's always the best move, and that's what I like about this horse so much, is he's been handled perfectly, and hopefully he comes through for you today.
Well, thanks. I'm not so sure. I was hoping I was going to get back to the barn, and Johnny said he went great, everything's perfect. Man, I was just seeing, but that wasn't the fact. So, you know, I feel good about where we are right now. You know, we'll just see this afternoon, and like I say, it's we're in to win, but it's not a win-all situation. We get a good solid race into him, and he comes back good, and looks like it's worth going on. Then we'll keep going that way, and obviously that's what our hope is. I mean, his pedigree says stamina. He's not a big, he's not a big colt. And, you know, I mean, if I'm looking at him, that would probably be one of the things that would worry me more than anything else, that his constitution might not be, just stature-wise, might not be as big and strong as I'd like for it to be. But obviously he's got a pedigree that says, you know, he'll run as far as you want him to.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Shug. And along those lines, you've had so many outstanding three-year-olds throughout your career, and really top older horses too. But are there certain common attributes that all of your top three-year-olds have possessed that you look for in a three-year-old at this point in their campaign?
Well, you know, I don't know. Most of them have sort of pointed me in that direction. You know, I mean, that have been, you know, have been good 3-year olds. I mean, we're going back. I mean, Easy Gore was a good 2-year old and came down here and trained magnificent. Coronado's Quest was a good 2-year old. The same thing. You know, Rhythm, he was a champion 2-year old. I mean, Code of Honor, you know, he showed up as a 2-year old. Orb, he broke his maiden on Thanksgiving weekend. I remember walking, going long at Aqueduct. I remember walking back to my car in the parking lot thinking, you know, what am I going to do with him? And, you know, I was thinking that, well, maybe he would show up, you know, at Aqueduct in the spring going around two turns. You know, I got him down here and he was at Payson Park, and I went up there and I think I worked him on like January 31st, and he worked really, really good. And I came back and, you know, I just went back straight to the barn and said to the girl that got on him, I said, did he look as good to you as he did to me? And she said, he went great, you know, and it just, for that winter, we never had any roadblocks. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that sort of helps too. Everything's kind of, got to pretty much go your way, and you know, then it's got to happen on Saturday afternoon of Derby Day, because as everybody knows, Derby week's not real easy, and so you know, that's pretty much most of them have all shown fairly early, the ones that I have run earlier in the year.
He's trainer Shug McGahee. He gets started on the road to the Kentucky Derby this afternoon with Code of Honor and the Mucho Macho Man at Gulfstream Park. Shug, really appreciate the visit and the time as always. Good luck this afternoon and moving forward, and Happy New Year, my friend.
All right, Happy New Year to you guys, dude. Happy New Year. Thanks.
Thanks, Shug.
All right, nobody better. Hall of Famer Shug McGahee, and we talk about it all the time. He starts going on and looking back at all of his horses and his memory and the way he just – I mean, who – he talked about Orb. What did he say? I think I worked him on January 31st. Who the hell remembers the work with Orb on January 31st? Shug McGahee. That's who. Incredible how good this guy is. And he continues to come up with top horses. Let's see if Code of Honor can take that first step later this afternoon. All right, going to get to another break. We'll come back. Michael Hernan is set to join us in our next segment for our Stallion Spotlight presented by Red Brand Fence. Terry Finley still to come from West Point Thoroughbreds. Tim Layton from Sports Illustrated. Simon Callahan, also from the West Coast. He'll join us toward the end of the program. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce McCracken for the 2019 breeding season. A brilliantly talented son of the great Ghost Sapper, McCracken recorded a dominant, undefeated two-year-old campaign, culminating with a sensational win in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club. A multiple graded stakes winner and track record setter at 3, McCracken retires as the only two-year-old graded stakes winning colt by his elite sire, Ghost Sapper. Beautifully balanced from a deep female family, McCracken has everything it takes to be an important sire. Airdrie Stud's McCracken. Think about it.
Fans, the new year is here, and there are more reasons than ever to visit spectacular Santa Anita. Bring the family. Infield general admission and parking are free each weekend, and don't miss out on unlimited ice skating, as this Sunday, January 6th, is our final day to skate. And with winter upon us, check out our Front Runner brunch each weekend in the glass-enclosed Front Runner. Visit our website and reserve your table now. Join us on Saturday as three-year-olds start down the Derby Trail with the Grade 3 Sham Stakes, and older horses get on the grass at a mile and one-eighth in the Grade 2 San Gabriel. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple graded stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
This is the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Birdstone Circus has Birdstone wins
the Belmont Stakes.
Tapazara, sterling performance today. Tapazara and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Here's the wire, and Empire Maker has won the 135th Belmont Stakes.
Still Birdsong in front. Honorable Duty's been trying to get by the entire length of the stretch, but Birdsong goes coast to coast in the Ali Sheba.
Tapping, Eddington fights on. It's going to be a blanket finish. Here's the wire, and Tap It takes it.
Well, that Stallion Montage you just heard from the Gainesway Stallions, and boy, have they been good for a very, very long time. And now to join us for our Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence is our good friend Michael Hernan from Gainesway. And Michael, what a year it's been in 2018, and bigger things on tap for 2019, no doubt.
Good morning, guys. Great to be with you and delighted to welcome back an old friend here this morning in the form of Mr. Blue Sky. He's been gone a long time, finally getting some sunshine, and that'll be good for everybody out at the Keeneland January sale today. But yeah, 2018, terrific year, Mike. We had great success through the sale ring with progeny of our own stallions, led by Tappet. The reception for Empire Maker was terrific, and we had some great sales on behalf of clients of top yearlings through the years, and some they went to great homes and were highly optimistic of their chances. And then we had a terrific year with our previous sales graduates, led by five-time Grade One winner Monomoy Girl, daughter of Gainesway stallion Tapazar, and of course the granddaughter of Tappet. And then we had the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner Jaywalk, who looks like she'll be tough on wheels this year going into the Oaks. She was very dominant at Churchill in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Then Eskimo Kisses was a terrific home team win for ourselves, Anthony Beck, when she took the Alabama Grade One, and top success in Europe with Hawkbill, top son of Kitten's Joy, bred by out there on Frankfurt Pike by Middlebrook Farm. So it was a great year. We're looking forward to our new stallion, Taprit, and we're excited.
Yeah, Taprit, as you mentioned, brand new for 2019 at Gainesway. And, Michael, this is a horse that when you look at what he accomplished on the racetrack, between his race record and his pedigree, he looks like one of those horses that can't miss as a stallion.
Well, I think he's a terrific chance. He's going to be very strongly supported. Gainesway, in conjunction with co-owners Bridlewood of John Malone and Mandy Pope, purchased 17 mares specifically for Taprit in the November sale. We spent $1,900,000 on those mares, and we'll be back buying a few here in the next few days at Keeneland. And, of course, we'll have a few mares coming from Eclipse Thoroughbreds and Mr. LaPenta and that group were responsible in conjunction with Bridlewood to buy this colt by Tappet at the Saratoga yearling sale. They had to reach to $1.2 million to get him, which tells you a lot about his confirmation. He's big and bold. He's 16-2 hands high. His mother won the Grade One spin away at Saratoga, and he had speed. You know, he won a stake as a two-year-old going a mile at Gulfstream. He came back to set a new stakes record in the Tampa Bay Derby. He won that by four, and then he was a very strong winner of the Belmont Stakes to prove his Grade One level racing ability. So you combine, you know, race course performance, pedigree, confirmation, and that gives you a license to succeed. It's supported with the support, and we've had terrific response to the horse. You know, we've issued somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 contracts already. I expect the horse to breed 150 or 60 mares this year, and that will position him with a great start for success in his first crop and a 12,500 live foal stand and nurse guaranteed. I think he's a cinch, and he'll reward breeders and give them a profitable return.
When you have a nice bank of house mares, you said you spent nearly $2 million on 17 mares to breed to him, you know, you're cherry picking the pedigrees. You're getting the ones that you think match up physically and everything. So that right there tells you he's going to have a nice start automatically.
Exactly, dude. And that doesn't include the 20 mares Anthony Beck will send to the horse. And then Mandy Pope, equity owner, she's got seven named to come to him as well. And then Bridalwood Farm in touch the other day with George Isaacs there, and they'll be supporting the horse. So he gets a terrific start, and that's all we can really do. And then it's up to the horse and the blood, but it's there. And now Tappet is, you know, making a mark as a sire of sires, particularly so far through Tapazar and the top filly of last year, as mentioned earlier, Monomoy Girl, which vaulted Tapazar to be vying for the leading third crop sire. Later today at Santa Anita, we'll see Godolphin's highly promising, talented colt, Coliseum, on the Derby trail. He'll contest the Sham Stakes today at Santa Anita. Very exciting horse, so really looking forward to that race later on this afternoon.
Yeah, that Tappet sire tree, if you will. You know, I kind of liken it to what we see with trainer Dwayne Lucas and all the great trainers that he's produced. Well, here's Tappet as kind of at the head of the list, and then all of his sons that are coming on and becoming great stallions. You have another son of Tappet out there, Michael, that I want to make sure we touch on for a minute. That's Anchor Down, an unbelievable miler, and again, a son of Tappet. This is a horse that I think when you look at what he's done in his racing career and now moving forward as a stallion, he has to be one that people need to take a long look at.
Very much so. He's very similar in physical type to Tappet. He was foaled and raised in, at Gainsway, sold by us to Steve Young, agent. He was trained by Todd Pletcher. He had a lot of speed. His game was on the engine, clicking off fast fractions. He was very game, could carry his speed a mile. He ran a mile in 1:32 and change. He beat top horses, and he's out of a talented mare, daughter of Orion Tate, who was a champion sprinter and, you know, half to a grade one winner in Sweet Lulu. The dam Successful Outlook was trained by Steve Asmussen. She was a graded stakes winner as a two-year-old. So he has real license to succeed as well. He's got very strong support from Anthony Beck, and excited about him, and the stock look impressive. We'll offer a couple of nice ones in February at Fasig Tipton, and we've got a good group to sell later through the year into the July sale and the fall sale at Keeneland.
Yeah, and let's not forget about our friend Empire Maker. What a sensational horse he is. He's been, you know, proven excellent over the years, a tremendous broodmare sire as well. How's he looking?
He looks fantastic. He belies his years. Last year, his health and wellness and fertility was exemplified by the fact that he bred 110 mares, and he stopped 108 of them. So as Carl Butler said to me the other day, we're going to put those two that he missed down to the mares. It sure wasn't his fault. So he had a terrific sale. They're great stock. Everyone likes them. They're big and bold and rangy. He's sire of 11 grade one winners to date. And he had a yearling sale for $1,350,000 for Tom Van Meter and Partners. There was a colt foaled and raised at Gainsway. And he bred top mares. We've got great support from our partner, Don Alberto, Carlos Heller, and the guys there, Fabricio Buffalo and Fernando Diaz, back doing the matings and getting the right mares to the horse. And then Gainsway will send another 20 mares to him again next year. And we do have a ceiling on his book. We recognize his age. We want him to last for a number of years going forward. He's had a huge influence on the breed. You've got Pioneer of the Nile and Bodie Meister, and then you've got grandsons like Classic Empire and Cairo Prince. And, you know, he's just a wonderful horse, great in every way, wonderful to be around, superb pedigree, and he's a very dominant stallion as far as the physical type, and they improve with age. So I think that number of 11 grade one winners will definitely be rising here, and it's exciting this summer to see those first two-year-olds since his return to the U.S. and to Gainsway. And we're delighted to have him there at the farm.
Visiting with our good friend Michael Hernan from Gainsway Farm here on the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Michael, I know that you'll be busy at the sales beginning on Monday, and we encourage people to stop by the Gainsway consignment at Keeneland January. But in terms of the open house and when the doors will be open for people to come see the stallions, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, it's just straightforward between 1 and 2.30, no appointment necessary. Go on over there and go on down past the office to the Stallion Complex. It's well known, and Carl Buckler will be there and his crew, and they'll show you those horses in a good, timely fashion, and it's great bloodstock, and these are breed-shaping stallions, Tappet and Empire Maker, and then we have the young guns coming up behind. So Gainsway is going forward, and we're excited about 2019.
And you can see a complete list of all the Gainsway stallions. Read about each one individually by going to their website. That's Gainsway.com. And again, stop by the Gainsway consignment at the Keeneland January sale. Say hello to Michael and the team and tell them that you heard them right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Michael, appreciate the visit, my friend, and go get him at the sale, and best of luck here in 2019.
Thanks very much, and happy and healthy new year to everybody out there.
All right, same to you, my friend. Michael Hernan, Gainsway Farm, that is your Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, you know, he starts throwing out name after name after name, and they're all big names in this sport. They have been, I would say, maybe the most iconic stud farm that we've seen in the sport over the past decade. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, they have a lot of good stallions. A Fleet Alex is over there. He's one of my favorites. He's a cool horse and a tremendous runner and stallion. It's a great farm. It's a pleasure just to go there. The grounds are beautiful. It's just a really cool place.
Yeah, by the way, he invited us, you and I, out. He sent me an email when I asked him to come on the program here today for that segment, and he's invited you and I to come out lunch on Hernan if we come out and see the stallions after the January sale.
Yeah, maybe we can arrange to have a picnic in front of a Fleet Alex's stall. I've always threatened to go have lunch with Fleet Alex. One of these days I'm going to do
it. I'm sure they can set it up for us.
I'm sure they can.
Maybe a little carrot cake.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah, it would be perfect. Why not? All right, again, Gainsway.com is where you can go to learn more about the Gainsway stallions. Busy second half of the program. It begins momentarily with our good friend Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds talking about Gunmetal Gray, one of my favorite horses in training, as he gets set to go postward and begin his three-year-old campaign in the Sham Stakes at Santa Anita later this afternoon. We're back with that interview and a very, very busy second half of the show right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunderstorm on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire. And Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
Wonder Gadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wonder Gadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they bump there. Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Gold, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's Gold Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on this fifth day of January 2019, the first Equine Forum of the year. And it is going to be a very busy year for us here on the network. And we're happy to have you along for the ride worldwide. Last year, listeners in more than 160 countries made the Horse Racing Radio Network their home for racing coverage. And we are happy to have you with us as we begin 2019 here this morning. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios in a very busy weekend. Whether you're a racing fan, whether you're a horse player, if you're an owner, if you're a breeder, if you're a trainer, there are a lot of things happening this weekend. Some points races for the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks. You have the Mucho Macho Man, which is not a points race, but a really good race, and the three-year-old debut of Code of Honor down at Gulfstream Park. You heard from Shug McGahey in the first half of the show talking about that talented three-year-old. And on Monday, the Keeneland January Horses of All Ages sale begins. So a lot of things from a lot of different angles to keep an eye on as we make our way to the beginning of January and the beginning of 2019.
Yeah, the winter's over, kind of, so to speak.
Yeah,
we're starting on our rush towards spring and towards the Derby, and it's exciting and back to work.
That first hour of the program featured interviews with Bob Baffert, with Shug McGahey, and you just heard the interview with Michael Hernan from Gainesway. If you missed any portion, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. A podcast of this program will be available for you to listen to after we finish up at 10 o'clock Eastern time. We threw out a poll question for you this morning at the top of the show. Looking back on what happened in the 1970s with the three Triple Crown winners, with Secretariat in 73, Seattle Slough in 77, Affirmed in 78. We've now had two here in this decade. Will history repeat itself? Will we have another Triple Crown winner in 2019? That's the poll question. You can weigh in, yes or no. We want to hear from you. And you can do that on our Twitter feed at HRN and, of course, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, all the particulars out of the way, we now welcome in our next guest, and that is our good friend from West Point Thoroughbreds, Terry Finley, who begins his road to the 2019 Kentucky Derby with the talented Gunmetal Gray in this afternoon Sham Stakes out at Santa Anita. Terry, welcome, my friend. Happy New Year.
Hey, gents. Same to you. Really great to be on. And the biz is going to keep you guys busy all year long, it looks like.
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very busy year. And, hey, before we get into Gunmetal Gray, I just want to, Terry, I want to make this known to our HRN Nation. Last month, I had the privilege to attend my very first Army-Navy game. And you, of course, West Point Thoroughbreds, being a graduate of West Point. That was one of the great experiences I've ever had in any sporting event. It was absolutely incredible. And I'll say this for you, go Army, beat Navy. Did I get it right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that was the third year in a row that we beat Navy, but who's counting, right? but I meant to touch base with you, but I figured, you know, the vast, vast majority of people, you know, that go to the Army-Navy game, that they're just in love with it. I draw a lot of similarities between the horse racing business. You bring somebody to Del Mar or to Saratoga or to the Derby or a big event, and they say, I can't wait to get back. I hear that time and time again with Army Navy, and it's a spectacle, and I think it's a really, really cool event.
Yeah, it's exciting every year. My uncle was in the Navy and my father was in the Army, so they used to have a little rivalry back in the day, and sometimes I would root for the Navy, and my dad would get mad.
Yeah. Terry, I'll tell you this. Your class knocked it out of the park with their tailgate this year. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, we've been doing that for almost 30 years, and there's one guy, and he's a real high-level executive. He runs a hedge fund, but he loves to put that tailgate on, and it's grown. There's like 600 people that pay for the tailgate. So it's probably the biggest one, you know, at the stadium, and he just loves it. And he starts, you know, 4 or 5 months before. So I give him all the credit. Dean Dorman, he's from Boston. So it's a good thing to get together with everybody every year.
Yeah, it was really special. And again, I always begin by thanking you for your service to this country, and really do appreciate that, buddy. Gunmetal Gray, let's talk about him. Going in the Sham Stakes, fifth last time out in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He has some work to do. Just when you get rid of Game Winner, you don't have to face him anymore. Here comes Bob Baffert with a couple more talented runners, including the even money favorite Coliseum. You got to get by Baffert if you want to be good.
Well, you know, you're running California, you got to get by Bobby Baffert, and it ain't easy. I can tell you from a man who's been chasing him for a lot of years out there. But it's fun. It's fun. But, man, every time you turn around, you see that, you know, the blue on the on those noses, and you're like, oh, man, here we go again. But it's good. You know, I draw the analogy to the NCAA tournament. You know, everybody wants to get to the Final Four. Everybody wants to get to the Derby. But in order to get to the Final Four, you got to get into the tournament. And, you know, our system in the business, you know, that we all know and love is to get the points. So anytime you have a shot to, you know, get those points to, in essence, you know, to get into the tournament is a good thing. And, you know, I think we're going to run well today. I really do. And but given that there are seven horses in there, and every set of connections, I'm sure, are feeling pretty good. And tomorrow morning, there'll be one or two of the connections that will feel really good, and everybody else will try to figure out if they're a pretender or they just need another shot. And that's really the balance that all of us go through as we try to manage these horses throughout the spring to get to Louisville on the first Saturday in May.
Yeah, you have to weigh so many factors, you know, and it's still – way early in the year. You know, we've got 5 months or so to the big dance, and you've also got the other Triple Crown races too, and sometimes you have to make that decision. Everybody wants to get to the Derby, but maybe you've got a horse that's really better suited to the Preakness or the Belmont, so you have to decide, do you want to try all three, or do you want to shoot for one in particular? I mean, there's so many factors that go into it, and horses change so much. They improve at this time of year, the three-year-olds, so that, you know, they might not run great today, but the next time they run, they run through their bridle and have a breakout race. So lots of different factors go into it.
Yeah, I definitely agree, dude. That's a good way to put it. You know, you'll see a horse and we film the vast majority of our works all across the country, so it's really good. Everybody, the management team included, we get a shot to see these horses work, and you know, sometimes they just get smart, and they just know that every 7 or 8 days they're going to breeze, and they just go out there and they go through their paces, and you're like, oh, is this horse starting to tail off a little bit? And you're trying to decide, and you know, that's what everybody's doing across the country, is they're trying to figure out, you know, how to get the performance that they need to get the points to get to the Derby, but not go over the top. And that's exactly what you just talked about. And, you know, let's face it, we all talk about it in the industry every year about, you know, trying to make a decision to go to the Preakness and the Belmont because you have a colt, a better suited for one of those two races. But that never works. That never works. I mean, you just the draw, the attraction of the Derby for, you know, the vast, vast majority of us is all encompassing, and it's too strong of a force factor, you know, to go elsewhere if you're in the position to, you know, to get into the field of 20. So it's amazing what the Derby does to all of us, and I'm just really, I'm sure we all are. We're just glad that it's part of our business. It really gives us something to look forward to for the first 5 months of every single year. And for that, I think we all need to be thankful.
Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds joining us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Terry, as somebody who is among the privileged few who know what it feels like to see your horse cross the finish line first in the Kentucky Derby, does it make you want to get back there maybe even more than you did before you won it, now that you know what that feeling's like?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I'll expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, thank you.
But you go back to the magnetic flow and the attraction, like you just, you know, when you have that feeling, and you talk to other people from other sports, you know, and they talk about being up on the stand after the Derby, or I'm sorry, after the Super Bowl, or the NCAAs, and you know, it's an out-of-body experience, a very favorable out-of-body experience. So when you have one of those, it's like a drug or a disease, and there's absolutely no cure. And yeah, you think about it a lot. I thought about the Derby a lot, you know, beforehand, you know, before 2017.
Yeah.
I think about it, you know, probably 4 or 5x of the amount of time I thought about it before. And, you know, in part because it's so captivating, but also that's what people that come into our business, they're attracted by the Derby. You know, that's the one thing that people bring up on a very regular basis is, what do I need to do to get to the Derby? And I said it's simple. You just got to keep buying horses that are legitimate prospects to get onto the Triple Crown Trail and stay lucky and get there. And other than that, you know, there's not a whole lot to it.
Well, the number one rule of interviewing is never ask a yes or no question. Now I know why. Thanks for reminding me, Terry. Appreciate that. Well, Terry,
you got to stop watching Fox and CNN. We're all getting disrupted in our lives by the competing forces between CNN and I do know one thing, that the politicians, they never answer with single words. They always do the pivot, right? And I just hope in our business, when we get interviewed, we don't pivot and we answer questions in a direct manner. So that's what I was thinking when I gave that one word answer.
Well, I asked Bob Baffert yesterday. I said, wouldn't it be great to win the Kentucky Derby for Sheikh Mohammed? He said, I think it'd be great to win the Kentucky Derby for anybody.
Yes.
Well, Terry, listen.
All know that they want to win the Derby, you know, as much as anybody else, and you know, they've done great. And, you know, they put a lot of money into the business, and you know, the Flying Star program. I mean, every way you turn, they've made their mark, and I give that team a lot of respect. But still, we want to beat them on Derby Day. We want to beat them, and we want to beat them today with their very good horse, Coliseum. But everything gets settled on the racetrack in our business, and that's what we love.
Terry Finley, West Point Thoroughbreds, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Terry, we always encourage people that if they want to compete in this game and they want to play on Saturdays with a big horse, they should reach out to you and to Jeff and to Tommy and the entire team at West Point. You do a tremendous job, and we'll encourage people to do so here on the program this morning. Happy New Year, my friend. Good luck with Gunmetal Gray this afternoon. We'll be watching, and go get it done.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. You talk about the new year. I feel it in my bones that this is going to be the best year for our industry ever. And, you know, what we individually have to do is to play our part in actually making that this year upcoming the best year ever. And it's up to every one of us. So let's go do it.
Yeah, well said. Terry Finley, ladies and gentlemen. Terry, appreciate it.
Thanks, you guys. Take care.
All right. Terry Finley here on HRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Tim Layton from Sports Illustrated coming up in our next segment. He'll talk about his Eclipse Award-winning feature on Chick Anderson. Simon Callahan, the trainer of Bellafina in tomorrow's Santa Ynez, is going to be with us right around 9:40 Eastern time. So still plenty more to come, but it's time now for your Blood Horse News update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Here we go. Told you I wanted to touch on the handle numbers. They had a strong year. See spikes in handle and increased purses. That's right. In the first full year of the National Thoroughbred Racing Association, successfully completed a campaign to have the U.S. Treasury and IRS change its rules on reporting and withholding of large parimutuel winnings. Wagering on U.S. races saw its largest single season growth in 18 years. Very positive. Racing's economic indicators for 2018, released January 4th by Equibase, showed wagering on U.S. races in 2018 improved 3.3% to more than $11 billion. It marks the fourth straight year that parimutuel wagering has improved and is the largest single-season gain since the 4.4% improvement in 2000. Great news there for the industry as a whole. Don't forget that you can download the special Blood Horse Best of 2018 tablet-only issue with the top feature stories and photographs of the year. This special issue is available to anyone with a tablet free of charge. Just download the Blood Horse Magazine app and then the Best of 2018 tablet issue, all compliments of Blood Horse, the industry's only weekly magazine and tablet covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for more than 100 years. All right, we're back with our Industry Star of the Week segment presented by Stuart Morris. That's Tim Layden from Sports Illustrated. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is represented in 2018 by the exciting stakes winning filly Safe to Say and stakes placed runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. While seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti has produced Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong, along with Canadian classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs and Miss Technicality, winner of the Juvenile Filly Stakes at Kentucky Downs. Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti at Castleton Lions.
Gulfstream Park's championship meet runs December 1st through March 31st with live racing Wednesday through Sunday, with the $9 million Pegasus World Cup set for January the 26th. A program which also features the first running of the $7 million Pegasus Turf Cup and the return of the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship on Friday, January 25th and Saturday, January 26th. The $1 million Florida Derby on March 30th will wrap up the championship meet at Gulfstream Park. Visit GulfstreamPark.com.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Here in the set, Secretariat has opened a 22-length lead. He is going to be the Triple Crown winner. Here comes Secretariat to the wire. An unbelievable, an amazing performance. He hits the finish 25 lengths in front. It's going to be quite the first second. High Gallant third. Private Smile fourth. And Sam, who had it today, got back to fifth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. That was the late Chick Anderson with the call of the 1973 Belmont Stakes. And that particular clip that we just played doesn't even include maybe the most significant part of that call, with Chick Anderson saying that Secretariat is widening now. He is moving like a tremendous machine, and that is a call that has gone down in infamy with the sport of thoroughbred racing. And our good friend Tim Layden from Sports Illustrated has just been honored with the Media Eclipse Award for that feature piece that he wrote, which appeared in early June, right before the Belmont Stakes, and it is titled Remembering Chick Anderson's Legendary Call of Secretariat's Record Run at 1973 Belmont Stakes. And Tim, kind enough to spend a little time with us here this morning. Tim, first of all, Happy New Year. Congratulations on this tremendous honor.
Happy New Year to you guys, and thanks a lot for that.
Yeah, a very memorable call, obviously. It is something that we hear, seems like, every year when we talk about the Belmont Stakes. Talk about your approach as you started to think about doing this piece on Chick Anderson.
Well, I think that, you know, something I said when Jim Gluckson called me with the news of the award and asked me why I did the piece. And my response to Jim was that, you know, sometimes the best stories are untold stories that are, require real digging and discovering, and those are great. And then there's other stories that are just sort of sitting out there in plain sight, and no one does them. And I think that, obviously, there's renewed interest and intensity on thoroughbred horse racing around the time of the Triple Crown races, and especially the Belmont, if there's a Triple Crown on the line every year. And often people write about Secretariat, and often people bring up that memorable Belmont from 73. And I think when that happens, you hear the call, and I've heard it so many times, and I just, this time around, I was trying to think of something I could do between the Preakness and the Belmont that might distinguish itself, because it's really hard. You can only do so many Baffert profiles and so many Mike Smith profiles. And I just thought, I was always been fascinated by that call, guys. And I just thought, you know, I didn't know Chick. I missed him really as a caller by a little bit. I was a little bit too young, not by much, but a little. And so I didn't know him. And I just thought, maybe I'll just try to find out who he was. And because I really was, had always been overwhelmed by the performance he delivered that day under pressure that he could never have seen coming.
Yeah, that is a interesting point of view, the pressure that he was under to call that race. And that's such an iconic event, too. I mean, every time you go to Belmont Park and you see the Secretariat pole, as they call it, the winning margin, it kind of, you know, reminds you of that day. I mean, I remember where I was when I saw that race. I was at work in a department store in Alhambra, California, and I went to the office of the president of the retail establishment and watched it on his TV in his office. And and I'll never forget that, you know. And I was lucky enough to meet Chick Anderson when I was working at Santa Anita, and he was a wonderful guy. But, you know, I think that's brilliant of you to take that, and you're so right. I mean, you know, we get Baffert and Mike Smith to death sometimes, and those guys are important, obviously, and both tremendous ambassadors for our sport. But that race just means so much to so many people, whether they saw it live, whether they were even born. I mean, everybody knows that race that's a racing fan.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you know, being a little bit inside baseball here, but we're all as writers or broadcasters or podcasters or documentarians, we're all trying to get eyeballs. We're all trying to see people, get people to see what we do. And Secretariat is a pretty good jumping off point for a horse racing story if you want people to read it. There's tremendous affection and just a real emotional feel that people have for Secretariat and many of them just from that one race. There's a lot of people that had this great love for Secretariat that never saw him run another race except that one. The majority, because there wasn't that big a crowd at Belmont that day, the majority only heard Chick's call, because obviously Chick didn't do the on-track call that day. Dave Johnson did. And people just remember that call. And, you know, to me, the really, you know, referencing back to what I said initially, I think what gets overlooked is that, you know, Chick called what he was seeing, but he didn't know what he was seeing. You know, that's the thing. It's he called that race as it was history unfolding, but he couldn't have known that it was history unfolding. Really, one of the coolest things that emerged for me was, you know, I talked to Charles E. Canty, who had been a longtime horse racing journalist, pretty much retired from that now, but was very helpful to me and knew Chick well. And, you know, she was at I guess, Monmouth that day, I think, or somewhere down in Jersey with her husband looking at horses. And they watched the race on a monitor. You know, when she saw 109, you know, she and her husband both said, well, that's not going to hold up. But Chick went with it, and that's the thing. And he went with it, and it could have gone way wrong. You say tremendous machine, and then Secretary, it stops at the eighth pole. Then you're looking at a gas. So, I mean, it's and there was every reason to think he would stop. I mean, in real time, we didn't know he was going to keep going. But he did keep going, and Chick went right along with him, and that's always fascinated me.
Visiting with Tim Layden of Sports Illustrated. You can read the story at SI.com. We're going to go ahead and post the link on our website following this program with a podcast of Tim's interview. So you'll be able to follow the link right to the SI.com article on Chick Anderson. Tim, it was kind of the perfect storm. As you pointed out, you know, Secretariat rose to the occasion, as did Chick Anderson with that call, and it became iconic. It became one of the most historic moments that we've had in racing history. I want to read this one sentence from your feature piece because I think it brings up a very valid point. You said, it remains the most significant moment in modern racing history, an event that reached beyond the racetrack and sank roots in the broader cultural landscape, even in a time of Vietnam and Watergate. And I think that's a great point. It is a call. It is a race that transcended the sport of thoroughbred racing.
Yeah, and that rarely happens. You know, I do think we saw it with American Pharoah a few years ago in 2015. Not as much with Justify this past year, which I don't think surprised anybody when that 37-year gap was gone. And Secretariat was working on a gap, too. It had been 25 years since Citation, so there was that same sort of lust for a Triple Crown that we saw in the 2000s. So that was one factor, and you know, again, I think there were a lot of things going on. Horse racing was not what it had been in the 40s and 50s by the 70s, but Secretariat sort of gave it a rebirth. And, you know, I think the country was in turmoil in 1973. There were a lot of things going on. It wasn't dissimilar to now, but there wasn't in terms of the public discussion of many things, but there also wasn't, there was at that time a war going on that was nearly over by then, but still going on. That had cost a lot of. I think people were looking for something to feel good about, and Secretariat really gave them that. And the exact why of that is very difficult to get your arms around. I mean, it's really not the underdog story that was portrayed in the movie a few years ago, because Secretariat came from a very successful barn that had a Derby winner the previous year. So it's I don't know what it was. And the Belmont came. He was pretty popular before that Belmont. And that was the icing on the cake. But he had been on Time magazine before that race. It's pretty amazing. And I think that's another reason why people remember it so well.
Yeah, I think the Silks had something to do with it too. They just went with the chestnut, and it was such a flashy picture, Secretariat with the blue and white Silks, and it was like red, white, and blue almost. It was kind of an all-American type thing.
Yeah, and the one horse, the one name, the single word name, I think captures people's attention too. I mean, Secretary, people don't really know what a Secretariat is, but the name rolls off the tongue, and the chestnut part, big red, you know, a female owner at a time when that wasn't common. There were a lot of factors involved there, and then the Belmont really just, encapsulated all of it, and I think Chick, got his arms around all of that, and he only had 2.5 minutes to do it.
Yeah, and I love the parallel that you were able to draw, Tim, to other sports and other memorable, iconic calls that we've heard in other sporting events. You pointed out Do you believe in miracles? Yes, with Al Michaels and the U.S. hockey team. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier with Howard Cosell. These are memorable calls in sporting history, and Chick Anderson's call of Secretariat winning the Belmont is right there with them.
I think so. You know, that one line, and he's moving like a tremendous machine. But then, you know, I wrote the long paragraph of his call of the finish. You know, that paragraph where he starts out with, and Secretariat is all alone. And, you know, it's just, he never, it, really, guys, this remarkable way that he was able to link his own wonder at what he was seeing, but never stop delivering information and never completely lose it. You know, he didn't start screaming and shouting. And, you know, there have been some great calls in the past decade. You know, Trevor Denman with Zenyatta, and this is unbelievable. And Durkin had a whole bunch of them. But I think in a way, you know, you listen to Chick, and some people criticize him and said, wow, there've been 100 calls better than this. And, you know, my point was not that he rose to that level of emotion that of the guys I just talked about, but that he didn't. You know, he kept it under control and just laid out what was happening, I just thought it was beautifully done. And then the more I learned about Chick, about what kind of guy he was, and a tremendously memorable friend and character to a lot of people, but also a guy who lived a really lonely, peripatetic kind of life, racetrack to racetrack, and you know, five kids at home in Indiana, who he really didn't get to see all that much. It was really an interesting life that there was a tinge of sadness to it, too. You know, he was a guy that was repeatedly told to take care of himself a little better, but chose not to, and maybe or maybe not cost him his life at a really young age. So to me, those factors also weighed in on why it was interesting for me to write about him.
And moving like a tremendous machine, it's something when you hear it, you know exactly what it is. And I don't know if you came across it in your research or whatever, but Luke Kreitbach, the late Luke Kreitbach, was calling the twice around at Ellis Park one year, a couple of years maybe before he died. And there was a horse that was in front by quite a ways, and I believe John Court was on it. I can't remember the horse's name, but they turned for home, and he said, whatever the horse's name was, is moving like a tremendous machine. And it just, you know, put the biggest grin on my face, because it was apropos, but it's such a blatant theft. I loved it.
Well, I'll say this. If you're going to do that as a race caller, you better pick a point where it's kind of funny and almost inappropriate. You know,
yeah,
I don't think you should do it in the Preakness.
Yeah, no, but yeah, at Ellis Park on the last day, you probably are entitled to do whatever you want.
Yeah. But and I'll say that twice around at Ellis Park is just about the perfect time to do that.
Yeah.
Tim Layden, Sports Illustrated, ladies and gentlemen, he is another second Eclipse Award, right, Tim?
Yeah, second. 31 years apart. I got a streak going now.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. He'll receive that Eclipse Award January 24th at Gulfstream Park. We'll let you go and get fitted for that tuxedo, and want to wish you a happy new year. Congratulations again on that tremendous honor.
Okay, great talking to you guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, Tim Layden, sportsillustratedsi.com. Again, go back to our website. After the show is finished, we'll post that interview with Tim, and we'll have a link along with that interview, where you can click right through to the SI article that Tim wrote that won that Eclipse Award on Chick Anderson. Pretty good stuff. Great comments there from Tim as well. All right, going to get to another break. We'll come back. Simon Callahan is set to join us from California as he gets ready to saddle the very talented 3-year-old filly Bellafina in tomorrow's Grade 2 Santa Ynez. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
This proven son of Giants Causeway has sired four millionaires, including Claiborne Farm stallion Lee.
Recent top runners include four-time graded stakes winner Miss Sky Warrior, three-time graded stakes winner Sharp Samurai, multiple stakes winner Bell Harbor, and Dubai Group 3 winner Shamal Nibras. Last year, his two-year-old sold up to $540,000, while his yearlings fetched up to a whopping $575,000. First Samurai, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
It's too charming, and Dina Delser is surging, and Dina Delser in so charming photo finish. Too tight to call in the Tropical Park Oaks. It was too charming inside.
Godolphin's Too Charming made all the running to score a game victory in the Tropical Park Oaks this past Saturday at Gulfstream Park. Under jockey Paco Lopez, the daughter of Darley stallion Bernardini recorded her third career win for trainer Tom Albertrani, making her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Bernardini is the sire of 66 stakes winners, with 19 graded stakes winners on dirt over the past 4 years. Only Tappet can top that lofty number. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is David Cohen.
This is Gary Siaka.
This is David Jacobson.
This is Gary Golo.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Bellafina takes a one-length lead from Vibrance as they swing for home. Bellafina out by two at the top of the lane. Vibrance is second. Brill making no impression back a distant third. In fourth position is Delu, but past the eighth pole comes Bellafina, bounding five clear from Vibrance and Brill. It's four lanterns versus one dazzling, sparkling chandelier. Bellafina is Bellissima. Wins by six lengths from Vibrance. Four lengths to Brill third, followed in by Delu and Delmar May.
Bellissima. Michael Ronan with the call of the Grade 1 Chandelier at Santa Anita last September. That was the third victory in a row for the very talented Bellafina, who returns to action tomorrow afternoon in the Grade 2 Santa Ynez Stakes for three-year-old fillies. She is a newly turned three-year-old, and she'll be ridden by Flavion Pratt for trainer Simon Callahan, looking to make amends for a fourth-place finish in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile in her final start of 2018. And Simon, nice enough to spend some time with us bright and early on the West Coast this morning. Simon, appreciate the visit.
Yeah, sure. No problem. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Looking forward to this three-year-old filly getting back in action. That she displayed so much talent as a two-year-old. What are you seeing from her going into her three-year-old campaign?
You know, she's done everything that we like to see coming into a big race. We gave her a little bit of time after the Breeders' Cup, which was obviously disappointing. Just had to catch her breath, and she's worked weekly coming to this race. And like I said, she's been doing everything you'd like to see coming into a big race.
Let's look back on that Breeders' Cup for a minute. Didn't get off to the best of beginnings, but she still somehow found herself in a pretty good position early on. Share your thoughts on that performance.
That's right. She just didn't break with the normal fluency that she normally does. Had to be kind of rushed up a little bit, but then she was in a good position and ultimately just didn't fire, didn't run her race. And obviously it was disappointing. You go into the race you know, with high expectations. You're the favorite, and, you know, it was disappointing at the time. But, you know, it's one of those things. And like I said, we've given her the time now, and now she's really coming into this race in top form, I think.
She had a really nice, nicely spaced campaign, and then got a little break. And it's been my experience when the two-year-olds get that little break, just a couple of months off or whatever, they come back gangbusters. It looks like she's been training well. Do you have that feeling?
I do. I mean, we jogged her for 2 weeks, and you know, her energy really came back pretty good. You know, her works, you know, coming into this race have been really good, really sharp, in fact. And you know, they've led us to give us the confidence to run her in this race. We, you know, after the Breeders' Cup, we wanted to give her a little bit of time, and we were, you know, going into this year's campaign with an open mind as regards to where we were going to start her back. But you know, her works have been really good, and like I said, that gave us the confidence to enter for this race.
Simon, talk about the thought process, bringing her back in the Santa Ynez 7-furlong sprint race. Talk about that strategy on your part.
Well, we wanted to give her 2 races before the Santa Anita Oaks. Like I said, this race wasn't set in stone, but she has been working really well. I think 7 furlongs is a really good place to start back. Obviously, she's shown lots of talent going 6, 7, and a mile and a 16th. But I think 7, 8 for a first run back is a perfect platform for her to then stretch out. And, you know, like I said, I think 2 races before the Santa Anita Oaks makes a lot of sense. And then after the Santa Anita Oaks, obviously, we'll plan a campaign after that. We're hoping that she's a filly that will, you know, head to Kentucky, you know, for the Oaks. But having said that, there's so many prestigious races, you know, shorter distance, particularly on the East Coast, the second half of the year. You know, we're just going to let her, you know, tell us what the best way to proceed is.
She's got that tremendous pedigree, the quality road out of a Malibu Moonmare. She ought to be able to handle most distances, and has a nice running style where you can kind of put her wherever you want in a race, and she's going to perform well.
That's right. She's very tactical. You know, she's been pretty forwardly placed in most of her races, but obviously she can rate well, and, you know, she's typically got that good cruising speed, and, you know, from a jockey's perspective, like you said, she can be very tactical. And, you know, I think be sort of positioned anywhere, depending on how the race unfolds.
Simon Callahan with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bella Fina going to the post tomorrow in the Grade 2 Santa Ynez Stakes. Simon, we're still 118 days away from that first Friday in May. And I know that's, as you've kind of alluded to, that's still kind of, you know, a long ways off, even in your mind. But you've been down this road before, the road to the Kentucky Derby. You've been down the road to the Kentucky Oaks. You had Moonshine Memories last year. What things do you take away from those experiences? You got Firing Line there, nearly won the Kentucky Derby back in 2015. What things do you take away from those experiences that maybe help you as you start plotting out a course for a filly like Bella Fina?
Well, I think, you know, just having been there definitely gives you, you know, the perspective of, you know, a campaign going into it that you like to, you know, foresee. You know, we're pretty used to now shipping horses around the country, and, you know, we've done pretty good doing that. So, you know, I think having been there before is definitely a, you know, a big help. Having said that, every horse is individual, and, you know, you like to, you know, train them, you know, as individuals. So, you know, we'll just see the course is fully unfolds, and you know, we're just looking forward to a good campaign with her, really.
Yeah, just kind of take them one at a time and see where it leads you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this feels like the right place to start, and you know, like I said, I think by the Santa Anita Oaks, I think we'll have a definitive idea of you know, her distances. You know, you never know, you could end up going for something like the test later in the year, cutting back in distance. But like I said, you know, we'd like to, you know, our main objective is primarily the Santa Anita Oaks, and then hopefully after that is the Kentucky Oaks.
Earlier in the program, Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds joined us, Simon, and I asked him about Gunmetal Gray and the fact that he doesn't have to face Game Winner from the barn of Bob Baffert later this afternoon in the Sham, but he runs into a couple more Bob Baffert horses who are highly regarded. So you're always, he pointed out the fact that when you run on the West Coast, you're always trying to beat one of those top Bob Baffert horses. But you look at your resume over the past several years, you don't have to take a backseat to anybody, my friend. All you see is grade one, grade one, grade one, grade two, grade two, grade three. You have won some tremendous races over the past several years. You've kind of got this thing figured out a little bit.
Well, I don't know about figured out, but, we've been lucky enough to have some good horses. And, like you said, it typically is always Bob to beat in these top 2 and 3 year old races. We've been lucky enough to beat him sometimes, and we've played second fiddle to him sometimes. But, it's always fun. I mean, you want to be in these top races, and, having the filly to beat is kind of where you want to be. So, we're just hoping this filly gets the year started off on the right foot, and we can just have a good campaign with her going forward.
Bob told me yesterday he's been watching Bellafina work, and she's working sensationally. And I think between you and me, he's a little bit afraid of you.
That could be the case. I mean, the filly definitely is training really, really good. I think everyone's been watching her, and I think it's hard not to be impressed. But it's the first race of the year, and this isn't our Oaks per se. It's a good platform to start back, and it's all about having a peaking for later in the year when the bigger races. But like I said, I think she's definitely ready, and we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, Simon, I know it's a very busy morning for you. I know it's early out there on the West Coast. Really appreciate you taking the time. Good luck tomorrow. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, and we'll encourage people to embrace their passion at embracetherace.com. Thanks for the visit, Simon. Good luck tomorrow.
Sure. Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Thank you.
All right, Simon Callahan here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And yeah, Jude, when you scroll through the list of greatest stakes that Simon has won over the past several years, it's as impressive as any trainer that you're going to find anywhere in the country.
Yeah, he's done a great job. He's a young guy. He hasn't been at it a super long time, and he's had tremendous success. So that's a name you're going to be hearing for a long, long time. I mean, he's a very sharp guy. He has some of the best clients in racing, and not a surprise.
No, not a surprise at all. And as you said, the experience of being there and getting a horse to a race like the Kentucky Derby really helps. Now that he's been there, he's done that. Now he kind of has it mapped out, or at least he hopes he has it mapped out moving forward with his next set of horses, including that top filly, Bellafina, going to the post tomorrow afternoon. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and touch on a couple more quick subjects and wrap this one up for you. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
All right, we got a brand new wheats up here. One grain bread. Do I hear any takers? One grain bread. All right, what about two? Two grain bread. Let me get a taker for two grain. What about you, Jimmy John's? It's a firm head shake. No from Jimmy John's. How about three? Three grain sub bread. Three is not enough. How about four? Four grain. Who wouldn't want four grains? Jimmy John's still a no. Let's go five, five, six, seven, eight. Want to make it rain? Eight grain. Jimmy John's still a no. All right, what about nine? Nine grain wheat bread?
Yeah, we'll take it.
That's Jimmy John's new nine grain wheat sub. It's going once, going twice. Sold.
Try our new nine grain wheat sub. Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Welcome back. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, getting ready to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum, and what a show it's been to kick off 2019. If this is a prelude of things to come here on the network, well, I think everybody's in for a very special treat here this year. Our interviews with Bob Baffert and Shug McGahee in the first half of the program, along with Michael Hernan from Gainesway, Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds in hour number two, Tim Layden, the Eclipse Award winner, that was right around 9:20 Eastern time. He, of course, working with Sports Illustrated, and Simon Callahan just a few minutes ago. Very full program, and our thanks to everybody who took the time to join us here this morning. And, of course, Bob for taking the time to catch up with Jude yesterday afternoon. And, boy, what an interview that was. There's so many different elements to that interview with Bob Baffert, talking about nearly every single top three-year-old that he has in his barn, and that cupboard definitely not bare for Bob Baffert again here in 2019.
Yeah, no, he's got a plethora of Derby hopefuls, and we'll see where it all leads. But that's one of the nice things. Once you get Bob talking about his horses, and he just gets on a roll, and you just sit there and listen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it ties somewhat into our poll question of the day. We asked you, there were three Triple Crown winners in the 1970s. Does history repeat itself in this decade with a third Triple Crown winner? And it looks like, it's pretty close. 52% of HRN Nation saying no, doesn't happen. 48% looking at the glasses half full saying, yeah, it can happen and it will happen this decade. And I guess more importantly, does history repeat itself? We started the show talking about the 70s with Secretariat. 4 years later in 77, you had Seattle Slough. Then the next year, back-to-back, you had Affirmed in 78. Well, we've kind of seen that same pattern, almost identical, as a matter of fact, this decade with American Pharoah in 2015. 3 years later, here comes Justify. Do we have another one here in 2019? And who's to say that we won't when you look at the talent that's out there right now? It looks like there are some really, really good three-year-olds.
Yeah, it's early yet, but certainly we've seen some good two-year-olds, and the form's been exposed. So, we'll see how they develop along the way. There's always plenty of room for disappointments on the Derby trail, but there's also some joyful moments as well. And it's going to be a good Derby season, I think.
Want to remind you that if you are attending the Keeneland January sale that begins on Monday, you're looking for a great place to head out and get an unbelievable meal. We'll encourage you to head downtown right across from Rupp Arena on Main Street and check out Tony's of Lexington. I promise you, you will not get a better meal anywhere in Lexington than at Tony's. So head down there, tell them that you heard about it here on the Horse Racing Radio Network that we sent you in, and you will not be disappointed. Great place to take clients, too, and enjoy a great meal in a very special atmosphere. It's Tony's of Lexington. If you're going to be at the sales selling horses, you want to have lunch delivered to your consignment, why not call Jimmy John's over in Palomar? They'll deliver right to your barn for you. And you can do that starting right now, starting today.
It's good. Yep. Any hour of the day or night.
And by the way, best of luck to the little A, Acacia Courtney, who is competing day number two, I guess the final day today, of Miss Connecticut USA. So our little beauty queen back in action today, too. Go get him, little A.
She's already Miss Connecticut in my mind.
She's already won it once. I guess this might be a little different patch. I don't know. Is it same?
Yeah,
I think it's
a different condition.
Yeah, well, good luck to little A coming up later this afternoon. Again, our thanks to all of our special guests. We appreciate everybody being with us here this morning across HRN Nation. For our producer, Lee Delapina, Sean C. handling all of our social media, and for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next week here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Good night, Barbados.